This podcast features adults using adult language. You've been warned. Hey, welcome to Battle Res Bears, episode 1. What should I do now? I'll be your host today, Mudala, and with me is Ursangus. Today we're going to talk about situational awareness, what is it, why is it important, and how to go from being an LFR hero to a raid team member. But before we get into any of that, let's get with Ursangus. You know, 6.2.2 just hit. How are you enjoying that right now?
Hey, well, honestly, Moo, what I'm really enjoying is just how beautiful the tops of the trees look more than anything else. So 6.2.2 dropped, and yes, we all got flying, or at least you should be doing flying if you did your prerequisites on this. But flying has made things so much easier, especially for things like going to Doomlord Kazakh. For the weekly, that's coming extremely handy.
Yeah, you're not dragging all kinds of mobs back with you.
That's true. And honestly, past that, I really haven't noticed a whole lot of difference in 6.2.2.
Yeah, it's just true. For me, it just brought back how much you really miss flying. Being on the ground wasn't that bad, but being able to fly, just the quality of life change, just that allows is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's usually the stuff we appreciate most is just the quality of life stuff these patches.
Before we get started on that topic, I want to say thank you to everybody who's listened and given us feedback on our first episode. We appreciate the support and we look forward to continued support from you and others. Don't forget to tell everybody, all your friends about us. So on to our first topic, situational awareness. What is it? Why is it important? Ursangus, what do you think about that?
Situational awareness is not something that necessarily applies just to in-game raiding. It's something I've been doing for years, but it's being aware of everything that's around you, even if it's just a minor thing. This might be something as simple as predicting where a pack is going to come from to where everybody else is. Being aware that a major boss ability is coming up. Time frames coming up, stuff like that, as far as, hey, I've got to meet this girl in a movie at 9 o'clock, and being aware without looking at your watch, it's getting ready to, time to leave.
When it comes to situational awareness and rating, that's going to vary per role too, as to what you're looking at. And again, like you said, you just hit the nail on the head with that. What you learn can be applied in so many different facets, in game, not just WoW, other games, you can do it in real life. Situational awareness, to quote several of my NCOs, when I was in the Marine Corps, situational awareness is key. Knowing what's going on. That's it. That's what you need. If you can get your situational awareness down, you can figure just about anything out.
Yeah, and honestly, for a game like World of Warcraft, especially in PvE content, predicting where things are going to come from is actually fairly easy. It's when you start getting outside a game, it's going to be a little more difficult. But when it comes to raiding, if you read up on stuff aware, ahead of time, you might necessarily need to have an active situational awareness because you already know where everything is going to come from. So that it's still technically situational awareness, but it'll definitely come in handy.
After time, it'd probably turn into more muscle memory than anything else.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially, repetitive bosses, working on stuff multiple times. If you raid on multiple tunes, it really, really becomes a repetitive thing. And also, honestly, doing multiple raids would be helpful, especially if you're doing different roles, because then you start noticing other things to improve yourself in the other raids. So say you're a DPS, this boss, at 30% is going to transition and shift over here. So I need to be ready to move and stack up at this point. Knowing that will help you, say you go to another raid as a healer. well, while they're transitioning, they're doing this big AoE thing. So I need to have a big heal ready so I can, you know, stack up and heal everybody. Mm-hmm. So everything translates to each other. And the more you do, the better you'll get at it.
Right. And it is definitely a very practiced skill when it comes to situational awareness. And I know, you know, in the past, I found an article about this a couple of years ago, and it's been kind of circulating around some of the rating. But honestly, it does come in handy outside of game as well. There's an article out there called Raid Awareness is a Learned and Practiced Skill. If you go to the site and it has yelling on the internet in it, you're at the right place, and it's got a big Zelda banner at the top. And it goes through things like, why did I die? It's honestly not all that important in there, but how can I prevent that in the future? So this is, when it comes to World of Warcraft, is very, as far as learning raid awareness, is very consequential based. Whereas if you're doing outside a game, it's a lot harder to actually start learning it. One of the things I used to do would be, if I'm sitting in a coffee shop and I'm just kind of drawing or reading or whatever, what I would try to do is when I hear somebody come in through the front door, try to guess what that person looks like, you know, what they're wearing, their sex, just some basic details about that person without actually seeing them. And if you do that, I know it sounds kind of weird, but if you do that, you'll slowly start to pick up on key things like, okay, they're wearing boots. Okay, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's probably going to be a male. Okay, how hard did he open the door? Okay, there's so many finite little details you can pick up on that'll actually help you out with that. And then you can apply these things anywhere, not just in World of Warcraft, but other games as well, and in real life as well. It comes in very handy. And the driving is another big area you could use this.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend getting into driving. I don't know how it is there, but traffic here, not so good. Not good at all.
Yeah.
I know that's usually going to be a touchy subject for just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But no, getting back to, you know, doing it in a raiding situation, one of the key ways to help get that, develop your situation awareness in raiding is, you know, just like you should be doing anyway, research your fights. Mm-hmm. Because it will list, you know, what abilities do, you know, usually it'll even tell you what order the abilities will come in. It'll tell you if there's a transition phase. It'll tell you, you know, what the trigger is for the transition. Is it a time base? Is it a health base? Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's other add-ons that'll help you with that also that you need to be careful with though, because you can't actually get information overload with these. But
oh, yeah.
DBM, the timers aren't great in terms of accuracy. It seems this expansion, they seem to be just a little bit off. Mm-hmm. Not sure exactly why that is. It may just be me. I don't know. but you know, looking at these timers, it'll give you, okay, there's a major ability. It's coming in 20 seconds. So, okay, 20 seconds is a good long while to figure out where you need to go. Is it something to stack up? Is it something to spread out?
Mm-hmm.
Watching the cast bars of the bosses, most of the big abilities these bosses have nowadays have cast bars. So is it going to be doing a big cleave? They'll usually do a big, you know, you'll see the boss reach back and pause for a second while they're casting their ability, and then just big cleave. So you got a little bit of time to get out of the way or use your interrupts, whatever you need.
There is telegraphing, I think is what you're referring to there.
Yeah, there you go. My brain not worky this morning. But yeah, telegraphing. So there's many different abilities and many different ways that you can develop, you know, work on these. And again, like I said, doing different roles will also help with that.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, when it comes to, you know, learning muscle memory on this kind of thing, where you don't want to start is Mythic.
No.
You do not want to start this at the top, because as previous raids have illustrated, the difficulty level will change your timers pretty quickly. Start off in, you know, personally, I know, Moo, you hate LFR, But when it comes to learning a fight, like the core mechanics, I love LFR.
LFR can be useful depending on how it goes about. I mean, I know a lot of people hate LFR just for the simple fact that DPS, for example, queues, you know, earlier today I saw people complaining hour plus long queues. That is absolutely ridiculous. And so that's actually got a lot of people turned off of LFR. Mm-hmm. If you can get in a group that's, you know, just group up and organize, that reduces your queue times dramatically. And it also makes the experience a lot better because there are people that you know can depend on, you know. So get your raid team and go do an LFR.
That's true.
You know, that's a great way to teach the base mechanics to everybody at one time. Plus, you'll have that core group that, this is going to come out wrong, and I apologize, but that core group that you can control.
Yeah. Well, no, it makes sense, though, because you've already got the kind of relationship with your fellow raiders when it comes to that case. So really, all you're going in there to do is learn mechanics. Now, being familiar with your fellow raiders and how they react comes in extraordinarily handy in a lot of cases. So if you plan on being a mythic team, learning mechanics is not necessarily a bad thing if you go into, let's say, normal. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Yes, normal has less mechanics, but you're also learning how the fight progresses at that point. You may one-shot anything in normal, but you are gaining a lot of valuable information as far as how the fight will progress, even though in heroic and mythic is going to have a lot more bells and whistles.
Yeah. And most of the changes between, say, normal and heroic, that's just going to be mainly timing issues. And obviously hits harder than normal. But yeah, timing is what you want to get down. You want to be able to know when abilities are coming, know how long you have to interrupt something, or know how long you have to kill something once it reaches a certain point, because that will change. And it'll change again once you go from heroic to mythic. The biggest difference in heroic to mythic, there are actually several big, big differences. One, normal to heroic, it hits harder, but meh, it's not horrible. Mm-mm. Heroic to mythic hits like a truck difference. You know, you're going from getting hit by a little, I'm dating myself, a little Yugo or a little smart car to getting hit by a big rig. I mean, it's a big, big difference.
Yeah. To that point, like from the normal to heroic is really, there's a steady increase in difficulty when it goes to that. When you go from heroic to mythic, it is a cliff wall. Some teams do really well in switching over to mythic from heroic, but it is a very steep incline.
So you've got to deal with all that. And another thing you need to watch for, especially when you're building the timing on the getting your situation awareness on what's going on with the bosses, is dealing with improvisation. Okay. A mistake was made. It's okay, but you need to be able to adjust. If you get to the point where, you know, in your learning these fights where it becomes, okay, well, I have to do this and only this, that's when you're going to have a difficult time also, which is, again, your situational awareness. Okay, well, shit, somebody just died and now the positioning is off. I need to shift. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to make those calls too.
Well, if you've got the raid team split up into, you know, two separate groups, one with five and one with six, well, if one of those raid team, you know, one of those raid people on the five side dies, you're going to have to even out the groups again. So you have to call it, be able to, honestly, as a raid leader, be able to call it out. As a raid member, be able to get your ass over to the other side ASAFP.
Yes, absolutely. So,
Well, when it comes to tanking, for instance, I know you and I have had this situation before where I'll die and then, you know, battle res isn't available for another 3 minutes. Mm. Well, you know, you and I both know each other well enough to where you're ready to start rotating cooldowns, just chaining at that point until I can get back up on my feet. But you are very aware of what what your abilities are and what it's going to take to solo tank this for the next 3 minutes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even not even using that you are using that as an example, but not as solo tanking. Say it's a boss that has a cleave mechanic. You have to have both, you know, tanks side by side to absorb that cleave. Uh-huh. Well, if one of the tanks go down, as a raid leader, as a tank, or even, you know, as a DPS, somebody should see that. And DPS, preferably probably one of the plate wearers, because they can probably take it better, uh-huh, run over and stand with the tank. Don't even do anything. Rotate through your cooldowns, because you still have some to help absorb that and save, you know, you can save the fight that way.
Well, and every class has some sort of damage mitigating ability. I mean, you hear occasionally he'll call out for personals. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, or, you know, then the healers can jump up. Okay, well, I need to start rolling externals on this DPS who's, you know, saving the tank, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to adjust, being able to see when an adjustment needs to be done, is all of these fall under situational awareness. Is it easy? No. Is it easy to get overloaded? Absolutely. But just practicing and thinking, really, is going to allow you to get these done quickly.
Without a doubt. Does anybody expect you to have full situational awareness right off the gate? No. No, it is not something you should honestly expect yourself to do overnight either. This is absolutely a practice skill. We, you know, I can at least speak for myself that I've had a lot of experience with it. So it kind of comes naturally to me. But if you're, you know, you've been spending the last 3 years and have had a problem standing in fire, it might be a little more difficult for you to get adjusted to. But it is something that you, honestly, if you've been standing on fire, is absolutely something you need to start working on.
Yeah. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up. There are add-ons that will help you. DBM will give you warnings you're standing in poo. You know, there's that add-on GTFO, and they're great. But when you come to rely on them, they become a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're not really learning anything. You're learning reactions instead of anticipation.
Right. You're being reactive instead of proactive.
Yes. There you go. So,
when it comes to situational awareness, you definitely want to be proactive, especially if you're planning on taking your team, or, you know, being on a team that is going to be progressive and go through mythic levels. You have to be proactive about it, because reactive, honestly, one minor screw up in a mythic can cause a wipe. Just one person taking more damage than they need to could cause a wipe.
All of these things will just improve not only your raiding, your raid teams, but it'll just, you'll start taking these into, you know, like we said, into real life. You'll start noticing other things going on around you. And that is only an improvement.
Well, it doesn't necessarily just apply to raids either. I mean, you run across this in dungeons quite often. And honestly, even in questing.
Yeah. And honestly, that's where you can get your start in learning these, you know, some of these tricks, you know, questing. Okay. Well, I need to get this mob here, but there's a whole bunch around him, so you got to be able to, you know, see, all right, well, how close is he? Can you do an ability that, you know, has an AoE aspect, or do you only need to use your single target abilities? You know, stuff like that. So that way you don't pull extra stuff and die. And same with dungeons, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, dungeons, now you have other people involved. Where is this person standing? Where is this person standing? Can I be over here? Stuff like that. And all of that is what you can use to build your situational awareness for your raids. So by all means, you know, go do dungeons and, you know, start moving around. Don't just stand in the same spot every time. Go to different places, see what other things do.
Now, because when it comes to, you know, consequences of not doing it, the article we mentioned earlier about, you know, raid awareness being a learned and practiced skill, is consequential, but at the same time, it does make some really good points about the fact that if you die, it's usually your fault.
More often than not, yes.
Yeah, and you do have to be kind of self-critical when it comes to this sort of thing, where, okay, yeah, you didn't get healed, but why were you damaged in the first place? You trace it back to the root of things, of, I didn't get healed because the healer was too busy healing the tank, and I shouldn't have been taking damage at that point. Why did I take damage? I didn't get it out of the fire. And this is all, coincidentally, all this self-reflection. Don't do it in the middle of a raid. unless you think it's a quick fix, don't do it in the middle of a raid.
No. Especially not in the middle of a pull.
Oh, yeah. In the middle of a pull is... These are, honestly, some of these skills are what you should have before you get into a raid.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. I mean, this, you know, some people could argue that that's where you learn it. That's fine. But if you want the rest of your team to do well, then it might not be a bad idea to pick up on this prior to joining a team.
Right. And you know, like we said earlier, part of learning, you know, these things is just researching the fight. I've come across that a lot of times where people don't do that. And that's going to be a big play, a big factor right there, just knowing what's coming.
That's very true. Very true. And it does happen, unfortunately.
Yes.
But what can you do? You can prep is what you can do. Yeah.
And that's where having a good raid leader comes in is, you know, giving people warning. Hey, we're going to go here. We're going to be working these fights. Make sure you take a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remind people. You don't have to call them out. You don't have to point it out. Just throw that reminder out there.
And later on, we'll get into raid leader roles versus raid member roles. I mean, yes. I think that might be the next episode we do.
And that right there may actually take a whole episode instead of having two topics.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt, as far as obligations and how you can prep. And honestly, a raid leader by itself could be an episode.
Yes, absolutely. Do you, is there anything else you can add to that? Or
honestly, let me think. There's really, as far as situational awareness goes, I mean, practice. You can never have too much situational awareness.
No.
And do research. I know it's a game, but if you want to be actually serious about raiding and being that top guy, you're going to have to do a little bit of legwork because the rest of the raid is not there to hold your hand and tell you when to move.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not even about being the top guy either. Although that's, to me, that I love doing that. But just let's face it. We get into raiding to have fun, to kill things. While we're killing things, we're having a blast. But when we're, you know, not killing things, and it's usually because the same thing over and over again, that starts getting to be frustrating. People start getting short tempers, and that's when you start having a lot of your blow-ups. That's how some raid teams fall apart. Mm-hmm. So, yes, wiping is progression. Wiping is learning, as long as it's not to the same thing. Because how's that saying go? Insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
So just, you know, keep that in mind. Keep all that in the back of your head. And I guess it all boils down to pay attention.
Yep.
So that's as simple as we can make it.
And in this case, it's a game. I mean, yes. How seriously can you really take it? Well, it depends on how serious you want to take it.
Yeah.
You know, situational awareness outside of World of Warcraft might be a little different, but, you know, inside of World of Warcraft, this is the beauty of being a video game is you can kind of determine your own level of involvement in this.
Right. Which, hey, that right there can segue us perfectly into our next topic.
Oh, so, I want to hear this segue.
Yes. Well, you just said it, you know, which... You said it, and I just forgot it. That shows how my memory goes. I'm getting up there in age. Sorry. No. So you determine how you play. So you're an LFR hero. That's what you do. That's the way you've been raiding. You've been going to LFR. You've been, you know, doing the LFRs. You know all the fights in LFR. You're ready. You finally have a set schedule. You can do an actual raid. How do you go about doing that? What is the best way, in your opinion, Ursangus, to go from being an LFR raider to a raid team member?
The first thing, free yourself up for other teams. Make yourself available to already established teams. And PUG is going to be the best way to really get an idea of what you're in for as far as normal or heroic raiding. Granted, it's highly unlikely that you're going to be going straight from LFR to heroic, but it could happen.
Yeah.
It could happen. But PUG it, because especially in Mists of Pandaria, when I was doing that, how I got on the permanent team was I just started making myself available to other teams, and learning that way came in extraordinarily handy.
Yeah.
What would you say, Moo?
Well, you know, I mean, you just said it. I mean, pugging and Blizzard has actually, they've done really well with the Raid Finder tool because, you know, they opened it up to where you can do cross realm raiding now. So you can go in there, click, you know, go to your Raid Finder tool and click Warlords of Draenor or whatever expansion it ends up being by the time you raid. And you can see, okay, well, this is the raid I want to do. I want to start at the beginning. So go to Heimal. And you can choose your difficulty. You can choose, okay, Heimal normal or Heimal heroic. Because let's face it, if you're doing LFRs, you've already been doing current content LFRs, so you outgear that. But you want to see how it is in an actual raid setting. So you can choose your difficulty and you can see who's looking for what. Okay, this group right here is looking for a DPS. Hey, let's go. Let's sign up and go. And usually, you know, they'll go through the mechanics. If you don't know the fights on certain thing, most of the time you'll get a good group and they'll teach you. With everything in a game, sometimes you get those people that are, oh no, you should have already known this, and you just shrug it off and go on to the next group. That's a great way to get into pugging, and you can actually find a permanent team that way because cross realm raiding is allowed. So you can
so the honest tryouts are a big thing, especially if you're going for mythic. The tryouts are, I don't know of any mythic team I've ever run across that doesn't do tryouts.
No. And honestly, a lot of the heroic teams do as well.
Mm-hmm. So it is effectively an interview. And I mean that on both sides of the fence. If you're going to be, you know, trying to look for a permanent team, they're not just interviewing you. You're interviewing them because part of it, you know, being part of a good team means you typically get along with everybody on that team.
Yeah.
I've been on a couple teams where I'll run across two or three people that I just can't stand on there. And I think I'm a pretty tolerant guy.
Somewhat.
Depends on how many cups of coffee I've had that day.
Yeah, pretty much.
But being aware that, you know, there have been some cases where, you know, you may raid with a couple of friends, but, you know, those particular friends bring in people that you just cannot stand. Be upfront about it. And maybe you and I are kind of biased, I think, on this to a point, because the community we're in has a lot of raid teams, and moving raid teams is actually fairly easy for our community. But to that point, even moving in cross realm for a raid team is not as bad as it used to be.
No, because, you know, you don't have to change the realms in order to raid with them. You can continue being on yours because, let's face it, changing realms is not exactly cheap. Mm-mm. You don't have to spend the money if you don't want to. That's the great thing. The only time you would is if you're trying for a mythic team, in which case, sometimes if they really want you, that some teams will actually have a fund set up to, you know, help people transfer.
Because
those are usually the ones that are trying to compete for, you know, high end stuff. So
that's your world first teams.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this podcast and you feel like you a world first player, thank you for dropping by and listening to us newbies.
Yes. We're casual amateurs compared to some of those guys. I mean, they raid, you know, especially when it's, you know, the race is going on, they'll raid ridiculous amounts of time.
40 hours a week.
Yeah, it becomes a full-time damn job for that.
Mm-hmm. And power to them. I can't do it.
No. I wish I could devote the time for that, but I have this thing called a job that
right
that I have to do. But put yourself out there. Have confidence in your abilities. You know, because by the time you're ready to do that, you've already shown to yourself that, hey, I can do this, so why not take that next step?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make sure you have the time available. Don't sign up and be like, oh, well, I can only do for this month and then my schedule is going to change. Well, that your best bet there is just going to keep pugging and not actually getting a permanent team. And there's nothing wrong with pugging there, though.
No, there's not. And honestly, I'm in, you know, a similar situation myself right now where, you know, me and you, Moo,
Yeah.
We did form up a team, and then I got my permanent schedule changed at work. Well, as it so happens,
I still say you need to fix that.
Yeah, I'll get right on that. Anyway. But there, be upfront about your schedule. I mean, there's always going to be situations that can't be helped. And that's generally well understood. But you have to kind of let people know.
Yeah.
Don't leave them to guess, because leaving them to guess is going to put you in a poor light in the raid leader's eyes. And that's definitely not a place you want to be.
No, because then it starts affecting, well, are they going to bring me this week because I am actually available? Are they going to just bench me? Am I going to get gear? Because some teams use different systems, and attendance plays a big part in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and usually if you don't notify somebody that you're not going to be there, you get penalized instead of, you know, just showing up or even just letting them know. There was a system that we had. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't DKP, but it was somewhat similar to that. That a team on, I was in Siege of Orgrimmar, was using. And if you would let the raid leader know, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it this week, you'd still get some points, but you wouldn't get the full amount that everybody else got.
Right. So, and honestly, if you have a problem with the way that's run, find another raid team.
Yeah. Well, that falls under, you know, not only are they interviewing you, you're interviewing them. What's their loot system? Do you understand the loot system? How do you feel about it? Do you feel it's unduly biased to whoever? You know, is there a clique within the group that you just don't feel you can ever be a part of? All of these things are going to play in a factor, not just what they're seeing on you, but what you're seeing in them. And all that will actually affect how they see you also, because if you become withdrawn, don't really ever say anything, you know, seem kind of moody, snap when somebody says something, all of that's going to, you know, affect their decision against you as well.
All right. Because this is effectively, once you get into a raid team and you are having fun, this effectively becomes an extension of, you know, yourself and your family. I feel that way when it comes to a raid team.
Yeah. A good raid team will become family.
Yeah. And you're going to have so many inside jokes.
It can
get a little ridiculous, but it is definitely when you find a good raid team, you never want to leave it.
Right.
There have been, you know, there are always cases where, yeah, you may get along great with your raid team, but there's just that one person who's also a part of the core team. At the end of the day, if you don't get along with that person, something's going to snap eventually. Be the adult and work it out beforehand, before it comes down to screaming at somebody in Mumble or Skype or anything like that.
Yeah. And even if you do have problems with somebody, don't bring it into the raid.
Oh, God, no. No. One of the worst things you can do is, in the middle of a raid, start bringing up personal baggage.
Right.
That is way to wipe the raid permanently, because a lot of times that'll actually end up where the raid just disbands, because people take sides and it's a video game, but be adults.
Absolutely.
You probably pay for World of Warcraft, which probably means you have a job or some kind of income. So carry yourself in the way that you want to be perceived, in a way that you'll be proud of later. So anyway, we kind of got off topic there for a second.
We tend to do that. So we've talked about joining a team or trying out for a team as an interview. What, as a raider looking for a team, what's some of the stuff that you're going to look for?
Schedule, first and foremost.
Okay.
Second thing I'd be looking for is, are they doing the content that you want to do? Are they in Normuk? Are they in normal or heroic? Are they LFR? What level are they at? Another handy thing is, do you know anybody already on the team?
Yeah, because that can give you an in also.
Yeah, that's a big, honestly, for me, that's a huge factor. Is, do I know anybody on the team already? No. Okay. Well, let's take a look at the other teams and, you know, around that time frame and see what else is around. And not necessarily if you do know a person, if you do know somebody on the team and you don't like them, don't go to that team.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't only look for teams that you know people on, because part of playing this game, it's a social aspect. Make new friends. Try out for a team that you don't know anybody. Because you can look at it that way. It's a fresh start to get more friends. You can never have too many friends. Never. Especially in a game. I mean, who's going to help you power level your alts?
Seriously. I mean, that's how it works.
Unless you're me and you have all of your alts already maxed out and raid level gear. But anyways. I'm working on it. So... Yeah, I was looking at it earlier, and I realized I need a life. I need to get a life. On my main server, I have 1100s. The lowest gear tune is a 668.
I hate you so much. I love you, Moo.
Really. yeah, I'm sure. And I'll be honest, you know, and this is where, you know, like we spoke of last expansion, you know, gear isn't everything, because a lot of those characters I have not stepped foot in a raid on. I'm confident that I could, but it's just one of those things of this expansion. But the fact that I was able to get to that point shows me that I play this game way, way too much.
Right. And not everybody's like that. I mean, there are some people who just roll one tune.
And that's great.
They have no alts, which, hey, I call bullshit. you got to have an alt somewhere. But, there are people who only play one tune, you know, primarily anyway, where they'll only raid on one tune. And maybe that's all you want to do. I know Method, I think it is. Method actually has one main tune, and then you have to have four supporting characters.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a world first, which is insane.
And, you know, that can actually, by getting on a new team, making new friends, that could actually get you to start doing alts, bringing up a new aspect of the game, leveling and starting doing lower stuff with friends. Hell, raid teams don't have to just be current content. There are groups out there that do older content at level, like the iTunes team. They start a new character. They'll level up to 60, do the 60 raids. Then they'll level up to 70, do the level 70 raids. They do it at level using only that gear. No heirlooms allowed, except for the leveling process.
Yeah, and they have a blast.
Oh, yeah. So there's different ways to raid. You know, however you want to do it, whatever floats your boat, do it.
You know, honestly, I think you pretty much nailed it on that one, man.
Yeah. Well, I can't think of anything else to add to this. Can you?
Not really, honestly. I mean, and there's always the whole question of how do I get gear to, you know, to get to the normal level. But with Warlords of Draenor and the Tanan Jungle, I mean, once you hit 100 and you're constantly, you know, updating your garrisons and you're doing your dailies, you'll hit 650 without any problem once you hit 100.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've got enough Apexis crystals, you could easily be 695 in very short order.
Absolutely. So, all right. So Q&A, we got no questions this week. None.
Nothing.
No questions on Twitter, no emails. Yeah. We even posted in Guild Chat. Nobody said anything. Nobody had any questions. No. So I guess we're, you know, maybe doing rating tips for ourselves.
I asked in Guild Chat the other day for any questions, and all I got were bear puns. So I feel like there are some questions brewing.
Absolutely. And remember, the unasked question remains unanswered. You may have a question, you may be hesitant to ask it, but I guarantee somebody else has that same question, but they're uncomfortable asking it. You know, we'll cover what we can think of, but we'll answer specific questions.
Right. I can barely contain my excitement about some of the questions we'll be getting.
Oh, absolutely. Because the whole purpose of this is that, you know, we've been doing this for quite a while. Let's pass on that knowledge that we've built up, because I don't know about our seconds. I love the shit out of raiding.
Oh yeah.
I have three different teams I'm on. If I had more time, I would be on more. During the height of Siege of Orgrimmar, I was on five teams. I love raiding.
Well, and that in Siege of Orgrimmar went on for way too long.
It did. But, you know,
but it was also fun.
Yeah. And even now, even with it, you know, this expansion, you know, starting to come to a close, if I had a little bit more time, I would be raiding more. I would be happy to jump onto more teams.
It's fun. It is. If you get a group you love being with, raiding is fun.
Yes.
And the same could be said for PvP. I mean, I've been on an arena team maybe 1 week out of the 10 years I've been playing. But
how'd you do in that 1 week?
Say what now?
How'd you do in that 1 week, though?
Horrible.
But did you have fun?
Or Sengus PvP is like he heals. Not very well.
Oh, okay. So you heal the enemy more than you heal yourself?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, all right then.
Pretty much. I used to be big into world PvP back when I was on Lightning's Blade on the Horde side. If you're on a PvP server, I'm sorry now for the hell you're going to go through going through Stranglethorn Vale.
Oh, yeah.
It is, on a PvP server, the worst place you could possibly be.
It has gotten a little bit better. Just don't go through there on a Sunday.
Oh, no. No, because in the fishing tournament?
Yeah, the fishing tournament's going on. Yeah, don't go through there. Don't go. If you're leveling Stranglethorn and it's Sunday, just go to a different character. Start something new. Go to a higher. Just avoid it. Avoid it.
Go to a different zone.
Yes.
Stay out of Stranglethorn.
But other than that, it has gotten a little bit better because, you know, I was on Emerald Dream for almost, you know, except for the last 2 years, you know, mm-hmm. So I've done a lot of leveling there. And before Kata, when they did the split of Stranglethorn, it was horrible, just absolutely horrible. After Kata, it got better, and the further expansions, it got even more, you know, even more so. But yeah, it's still probably one of the worst areas, I think. But yeah, the world PvP, you know, I used to love that too. Before they made some of their changes, you know, went to Resolve instead of, you know, what they did have for tanks, because doing Timeless Isle. There were times where it took an entire raid team to take down my bear. It was amazing.
So much fun.
Granted, I wasn't killing anybody, but they weren't killing me either. That's what was fun. Not dying. Despite their best efforts, that is what I loved. Not dying. I could care less if I killed you.
Oh, it was never Timeless Isle for me because I was gone off of the PvP server by that time. But when Karazhan first launched back in Burning Crusade, I was on a PvP server. And that area right outside of Karazhan was just a bloodbath every Tuesday. It was ridiculous. It was a ton of fun, but the corpse running was not exactly my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, the good old corpse run.
Yep.
So yes, definitely. You know, and honestly, a lot of the questions, they don't have to be about raiding because a lot of stuff we talk about can apply other places. So, and if we don't have an answer, we know people that do, so we can get an answer for you. So definitely send us an email, send us a Twitter or a tweet, send us your questions, catch us in game, and
We'll get an answer. So you can reach us via email, battleresbears@gmail.com. I believe that's the email address.
Yes, that's it.
Okay. You can also find us on Twitter, @battleresbears.
And that's res with a Z.
Yes, res with a Z. You can find me at Ursangus, as at URSANGUS. Where can they find you, Amu?
You can find me at Moodala. That's MOODAHLA. So real quick, before we close this out, I do want to cover a little bit. We're not going to go heavy into Blizzard news because so many other places do that. But just, you know, a couple highlights that caught my attention from the Dragon Con panel that they did about the Legion. And that's, you know, some of the stuff like the Demon Hunter, they're currently planned because they already said it's going to be hero class. So along the lines of a Death Knight, it's going to start at a certain level and, you know, level, you know, get your skills and abilities as you level up. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, one of the things they're going to do is they're planning to have it start at 98. So that means if you want to do anything from the Wrath content or the Warlords content, excuse me, too many W's, from the Warlords content, you'll actually have to back up a little bit after you, because you'll already be at 100, which, as far as I, correct me if I'm wrong, the garrisons will not be going away, right?
No, so, the garrisons are not going away. I don't know how much they're going to carry over to Legion.
Well, I doubt they will actually carry over, but there's that nifty little feature on the missions, and I know a lot of people at this point are garrisons. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But the next expansion, you may want to think about keeping up on your garrisons, just the simple fact that the missions will still be going, and you'll still be able to get gold.
That's true.
That'd be a quick, easy way to get gold. You log in, pop a couple buttons, you know, collect your gold, send a few more missions out, and then continue on with what you were doing.
Well, and from what they're saying in Dragon Con, the Demon Hunters are starting at level 98 right now.
Yeah,
now, that doesn't mean it's going to be permanent.
No, all of this is going to be subject to change. There's nothing, the way Blizzard works, nothing is permanent until it's in-game, and it's still, even then, subject to change.
Absolutely.
And with being honestly, a new class,
I think one of the things I'm really looking forward to as far as, you know, what we're going to see in Legion is profession changes more than anything else. And they had a couple notes about profession changes. They've got a new team who's going to be working on it. You'll get some crafting items from dungeon loot, a few other things, but I can't wait to hear more about it.
Oh yeah. But on professions, those of you that may have gotten rid of your gathering professions because Garrison's made them null and void, you may want to pick them back up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like all things are indicating that we're going to be going back to the have to go out to the world to farm your mats.
Oh, no. It's so scary out there. Yeah.
What is this farming thing you speak of?
it's fun, but, to say the least.
Another thing I'm looking forward to is the new transmog system.
Yeah, now, so Moo and I have been playing a lot of Diablo lately, and yeah. I've been playing around with the transmog system. You know, Moo, I don't think you've touched much on it.
Not much, just enough to get the objectives done.
Right. So honestly, the transmog system in Diablo is pretty tight. Gotta say, pretty tight. It'll be interesting. I know if they use the Diablo transmog system in World of Warcraft, I don't know what I'm going to do with my void storage anymore.
Void storage. I know some people have entire guild banks dedicated to transmog gear.
I mean, his wife.
yes. I live with this. And she yells at me all the time because I'll either, you know, leveling up or whatever, I'll sell or DE green eyed and stuff like that. She yells at me because she, you know, oh, you can keep it. You can sell it or you can use it. It's like, I don't transmog and some of the stuff doesn't sell.
Right.
So, but you know, there are people that's their thing. They love the transmog. Hey, great. You're now going to have an ass load more space from what they're saying. And it's going to be they're looking at doing a Diablo style transmog.
It's a lot of fucking space.
Yeah. Those are just a few things. Boomkins, rejoice. You are going to be getting updated models. You can stop your whining and complaining.
Yeah, please. I mean, we hear it enough as it is.
Yes. You will be getting updated models. So please, the whining should end.
Please, but stop.
But those are just a few things, you know, and there's going to be a lot more coming out and a lot of different podcasts are going to cover them. We're just going to cover quick little things on what catches our attention. Mm-hmm. So not everything by any means.
I know when I get to BlizzCon in November, I'm going to have a ton of information, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And of course, you know, hopefully BlizzCon will get more information about that game Overwatch, because a lot of people are chomping at the bit on that one.
That's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait.
So,
but anyway, I think that's pretty much done it for us, Moo. You don't have anything else to add?
I don't. What are your plans after this?
My plan on this, honestly, is to probably play some more Diablo 3. I don't know how Blizzard did it, but they made it fun again.
I think they found a way to take crack and send it through your screen.
That's the only way because I was never a big Diablo 3 player. I really wasn't. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't playing it right now.
And honestly, I look at my friends list now and I like Diablo. It's like, holy crap.
It's insane.
Yeah. Everybody's playing Diablo now.
Yep. And I think I might try and find a pug for tonight because I haven't raided in quite a while. But we'll see. We'll see what's going on.
All right. I think I'll be joining you in Diablo, honestly. So that being said, hope everybody has a good week. We look forward to getting feedback and questions from you. And have a good day.
Yeah, have a good day, guys. We'll see you next time.